Live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's Dawn and Steve in the morning. Good morning from Moody Radio. Coming up this hour, later on, we have Percy McRae coming to talk to us about knowing your godly bill of rights. But right now, we've got a special guest, Linda Keena Thomas.
And Linda has a story to tell, hope and freedom, especially in the area of being post-abortive, as we talk about a memorial that can help in that healing. So many ways that the Lord is connecting people to their own story and then allowing all of that pain to be dealt with. And Linda, you are, first of all, good morning.
Good morning. So good to be with you guys.
Skip the formalities. I want to get to the story. We are grateful that you've taken the time to come and share with us about the National Memorial for the Unborn. But it starts with your story. Can you share that with us this morning?
Sure, Dawn. I was the good Christian girl way back in the 70s when Roe versus Wade was new, that found myself pregnant, and at MTSU decided that abortion was what I was going to choose. Actually, it was a long process, as it is for many of us, of back and forth. What do I do? You know, you're in crisis mode. But unfortunately did make that decision to end my child's life. My baby was actually 23 weeks. A saline abortion, and my life immediately spiraled out of control. I ran from God as hard as I could, drugs and alcohol and all the things we do to punish ourselves, because we know that we deserve punishment and our self-esteem just bottoms. You know, I hear that story over and over and over again as I've helped women in these last years. But God, he pulled me out of it and restored me, and my journey began. And, you know, healing from an abortion often is a journey. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a John 3:16 Band-Aid. It takes some deep healing. It really does. And there's two components. One is being forgiven, and we know in Jesus that's where it is. And we have a world that needs to hear that message. And people that are hurting, 1 out of 4 women need that message. But for many of us Christians, it's still a wound that never heals, because we don't do the second part of that healing, and that's the grief.
Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that our churches are full of people who are carrying around the grief, and because they don't feel like they have a safe place to talk about it, where they can't grieve in the way that they want to, or at least they feel they can't, they suffer silently, and some suffer for many, many, many years. But I hear you saying, no, we need to create, even within our Christian subcultures, places where people can open up and talk and share.
Absolutely.
This.
Abortion causes isolation. It's the secret in the closet that corrupts relationships all around us. And we as the church need to speak on it. And there are many groups. It's just so exciting to see how many groups are being raised up to help women walk through that healing process. Mm-hmm. And it's the most exciting thing I've ever been involved in ministry. I was a crisis pregnancy center director for 10 years. But the most exciting part of all of it is watching women transformed, seeing them walk in with the shame and the guilt, and walk out 10 weeks later ready to tell the world how much Jesus loves them and how much she loves him.
Wow.
Because she has forgiven much, loves much.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is true. When we understand what Christ has done for us and the freedom that he offers. Linda, how did you first understand that? If you were post-abortive and you were in the 70s and you are now dealing and running and self-medicating, how did the Lord reach Linda Keener Thomas and say, I love you?
I was raised in a Christian home, so I knew the truth. I knew the truth. And when I hit bottom, he reached down and he said, I'm still here. You're mine. And so I ended up in Bible school, of all things, and just a journey, and then became a pregnancy center director. And really, the second part of that healing process, he dealt with that initial part, the forgiveness, on my knees by an old wooden bunk bed in Bible school. When I had asked him for forgiveness for the millionth time, and I heard his voice, and he said, Linda, your sin caused your son to die, but your sin caused my son to die too, and his death was enough. And I realized that all the good things at that point in my life I was trying to do were saying that what Jesus had already done for me wasn't enough.
Yeah.
That settled the forgiveness.
Yeah.
Good point.
That settled the forgiveness for me. And he deals with each of us differently, and it is a journey. But there is forgiveness, and there is healing from the grief. And it was actually when I was already a pregnancy center director before I was allowed to go through a Bible study that allowed me to grieve, allowed me to name my baby, allowed me to say hello and then say goodbye. And there's acceptance and there's peace in that. And I'm going to see my son David in heaven someday. And there is peace in that. And now, instead of a wound, I have a scar still.
Sure.
But it doesn't hurt to touch anymore. And now it's a scar I can hold up in front of people and say, Jesus heals. Mm. And he can heal you too.
You know, for the woman or even the man listening who says, I identify with pain, I identify with the wound, but I don't have the scar yet. Because when I touch it, it still hurts.
Right.
What does that look like to begin to allow that wound to turn to a scar?
Releasing the secret is the first step. Finding a group. They're all over the place. In crisis pregnancy centers, churches have them online. Get with other people. The Bible says, blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Mm-hmm. But the prerequisite is mourning. Allowing that to come up in the light of the scripture, in the light of Jesus, and allow him to start that healing process.
Talking this morning with Linda Keener-Thomas. She is on the board of a memorial that we want to talk a little bit more about coming up in just a few minutes. It is the National Memorial for the Unborn. We're going to talk about that, continue to talk about healing from abortion. And if you want to weigh in, you can call, you can head to our Facebook page, leave a comment or a question right there.
Miss part of the show? Catch up on Facebook, Dawn and Steve Mornings.
You can do that right there. We've got the connection to National Memorial for the Unborn, and Linda Keener-Thomas is telling the story, her story, and many others. There's a whole book put together called Empty Arms, and wow, I know that there's so much heart in the stories that are being told about babies we've lost to the abortion industry, to what we thought was probably the best decision in the moment, but the pain that comes in a post-abortive life. And that's, Linda, what you want to connect people with. The story, the hope that we have available through Jesus, the healing that can come, even for you. If this is your story today and you've never been able to utter it to a soul, there is healing and hope for you. I promise those are not just words. There's a real condition, if you
Absolutely.
Will, that
Absolutely.
You can walk into. And you have shared some stories this morning about giving your baby a name when
Yes.
you were post-abortive and the healing that came from that. Heidi was born was aborted February 19th, 1973. Here's what her little plaque says. Alive in my heart and in heaven, there's no cemetery where we can go to mourn and lay down our grief, but a plaque remembering Heidi is at the National Memorial for the Unborn.
Yes.
What's going on in this mama's heart right now?
Well, she's gone through healing, and at the end of that, we can name our children. We can identify them as created in the image of God, unique people. Mm-hmm. And if they're in the image of God, they're in heaven, and we're going to be reunited someday. And that's what the memorial does. We have a 50-foot granite wall on the very ground where 36,000 babies were aborted. Mm. God redeemed it, and what a picture of how he redeems even death in our lives to bring life. So we've redeemed this ground, and this wall has over 3,000 plaques, just like the one you read. And each one of those has a story. We invite anyone nationwide who has lost a child to abortion, even an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, because it touches all of us. Abortion has a ripple effect. It's not just the mother. It's the father, as you've said,
sure.
Steve, and other family members that know about the abortion grieve. And the wall is a place where they can give dignity to these unborn children in a very concrete way, and it provides closure and healing.
You know, for some people, they may be in the position where that is the next step for them, to go to the wall. But for others, they're somewhere between what we were talking about a few moments ago of being able and willing to share the story and then going to the wall.
Right.
You said the first step is finding that space to share, to talk, to open up. What is the next journey or next part of that healing process?
Right, right. We mentioned the first step is to not isolate, not keep it in the darkness, bring it out into the light, find someone safe. And in pregnancy centers across the country, other ministries have Bible studies, they've got retreats, they have resources where you don't have to be alone. You can put your arms around somebody else, walk through the journey with other people that have been there, and find the true forgiveness. I know many women, they will say, I can't forgive myself. I know God has, but I can't forgive myself. And we've got to conquer that through the Word, and there are answers to that question, and there are ways to accept that forgiveness and know without a doubt, without a doubt, without a doubt, that you are forgiven, you are considered righteous, you are not a second-class citizen, that God has forgiven you. And yes, the memorial is often the end of the journey after mm-hmm. we've done some of that work, and we are allowed then to begin to grieve, and it's kind of the closing of the process. So it dovetails so well with many of the post-abortion ministries throughout the country that they give the women at the end of it and the men the opportunity to place a plaque on the wall.
So if someone contacts you, the National Memorial for the Unborn, is there a process that you would advise? Do they connect with
the pregnancy
center?
We have referrals. Mm-hmm. We have complete referral services. No matter where you are in the country, we could get you hooked up with somebody in your area. Or there are online. There's more and more that are doing it virtual now on Zoom, are doing some of the post-abortion healing studies online. So it is available to anyone.
You know, as you interact with, you know, family members, moms, dads, those who have come to the wall, who have placed a plaque, who have gone through that grieving process, talk about, you know, how you have seen healing happen there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. In fact, this Sunday, we're having an open house at the memorial there in Chattanooga, and it's overwhelming. You cannot go to the wall and walk down that 50 feet and look at these 3,000 plaques and read the heart of what people have said without reducing you to tears. Even those that haven't had abortion, I've had so many, even Christian leaders that have come through that said, this has totally changed the way I look at the abortion issue. It puts a face on it. It's not about politics. It's about little precious people and about families that are hurting and are finding healing in Jesus. And there's a mighty harvest. One out of four of us out there are hurting, and we have the gospel that can offer healing.
Yeah.
And we've got to do that.
We've only, unfortunately, have about a minute left, but we had a comment or a question come in from a listener a moment ago who said, you know, we in the churches sometimes are hesitant to talk about this. And when we do finally talk about the topic of abortion, we don't always do it well. How would you encourage people to learn to talk about such a painful and hard topic in a way that is actually hopeful and healing?
Right. I've had so many people say to me, how could anyone have an abortion? And then when I tell them my story, they're like, ugh. But it's to know that who you're speaking to probably has been affected by abortion. Assume that, because they probably have, and speak with love and compassion, and know that many women have chosen this out of feeling like they had no other choice, and that it's an opportunity for Jesus to offer them healing.
Yeah. Well, we want to connect you with the National Memorial for the Unborn. You can go directly to the website. It is memorialfortheunborn.org. That's memorialfortheunborn.org. Or we have the link on our Facebook page. On Facebook, you're just looking for Don Steve in the Morning. This is Moody Radio.
Our friend Percy McCray, the Reverend Percy McCray, is joining us today. HealthHopeAndInspiration.com is how you can connect with all that they're doing through the ministry to cancer patients, friends of folks that are dealing with a cancer diagnosis, families, all of the things, the resources are there. And there's a podcast as well that our dear friend, the Reverend Percy McCray, is host of. Founding Fathers of the United States, they established these constitutional rights that we have, specific guarantees, personal freedoms, personal rights, and every citizen has these. The bedrock, the foundation of any democracy, is to assure that all citizens' liberties, privileges, understood, empowered, for the betterment of themselves and those around you. But as people of faith, we are naturalized citizens of the kingdom of God, Percy, and there are certain inalienable rights, if you will, for kingdom citizens. And we should have access to all of these in a time of distress and attack, and we do. And you're going to share some of those kingdom citizen rights that you have if you're a cancer patient.
That's right. Good morning, everyone, and happy New Year's. Good to be with you. Yeah, we need to know what our godly bill of rights are. Just like we know the Constitution, just like we know our rights from a legal citizen perspective, we are kingdom citizens. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we're going to use some metaphors today to kind of talk about that from a cancer perspective, particularly when we're in a battle and when we're in a fight. And the first thing that I want to share with you as one of your godly bill of rights, and we'll get through a couple of these depending on our time, is first and foremost is to get and have a flight plan. For those of you who travel and are on an airplane, you get a flight plan. The pilot has a flight plan. You know where you're going. You have a sense of how much time it'll take to get there. When traveling, one must establish a course of directions toward a desired destination. And we need to, as people of God and kingdom citizens, we need to check in with our air traffic control tower to get a flight plan to coordinate takeoffs, landings, and ground traffic. As believers, our air traffic control tower is God's word, praise God. Mm-hmm. And so despite whatever may be said to us or told to us while we're battling and fighting, we need to also get a hold of God's word that will give us a flight plan that will tell us potentially what we can do, how we can get there, and so on and so forth. We don't want to fly blindly. We want to have a plan of attack. The word of God reminds us that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And when we meditate in God's word, what happens for us and to us is that we shall be like a tree planted, praise God, by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth fruit in our season, and that our leaves shall never wither. So today, I want you to understand that one of your godly bill of rights is to get and have a flight plan. Check in with your godly air traffic control tower, which is the word of God, first
little
and foremost.
Someone going there this morning, Reverend Percy McCray. You're also saying that we need to look at marching orders when it comes to the journey of cancer. What, where, and how are we finding our marching orders?
Absolutely. For those of us who may be familiar with the military, part of the training is to understand that you are given orders to respond to and act upon. It has been said that sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. The fact of the matter is that words spoken to us and by us really do matter and may impact us potentially. Your words help frame your internal point of reference of where you want to go as a cancer patient or someone on a journey and what you plan to accomplish. Wisely, therefore, choose the words that you speak over yourself. It could be the difference between potentially life or death. The word of God tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And so with that being said, what marching orders are you responding to and that you are listening to and that you are speaking over yourself? One of your godly bill of rights is to have a set of marching orders that gives you instruction and direction of potentially where you can go.
Percy, when we find ourselves with this diagnosis and we hear what you're saying about marching orders, we know that the flight plan is coming from the Word of God. But in the beginning, it is overwhelming. Our hearts are hurting. Our minds are reeling. I don't think there's any specific amount of time where we could start to put in for the marching orders and look at the flight plan. But how well should we give ourselves that space in the beginning so that we can start to come back to reality and tackle this thing?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And again, there is no specific set of time. Everybody's journey is different. Everybody's mental and emotional dynamics are different. And so with that, simply pace yourself and allow yourself time to regroup, to get your footing underneath you. It may take some time. It may require some time. I've often said this and I've experienced this, that sometimes things may appear to get worse before they get better, but do not overreact to that and continue to remain focused. And that really leads us to our third Bill of Rights, and that is to be determined and not distracted. Not maintaining a clear line of sight of one's desired destination can become a barrier for reaching one's goals. Being steadfast and anchored will potentially help one maintain their focus and objective in order to have a chance to win the prize. So things may look rocky, things may be bumpy, things may appear to be a little odd at first, but remember at the end of the day to remain determined. And so that you are not distracted by those things around you as you are taking time to get your footing underneath you.
Well, you've been there, you've done that, you encourage people daily in the same journey as a cancer survivor yourself, cancer care ministry, Bible teaching and leadership training, so many things that the Lord has equipped you to do. And today you come alongside us here at Moody Radio to continue to offer health, hope, and inspiration, the Reverend Percy McCray. And we have more with the Reverend Percy coming up in just a few moments, connecting you to him through our Facebook page, Dawn and Steve in the Morning. He's a cancer survivor himself, ordained minister. He's been pastoring since 1993, 20 plus years in the cancer care ministry, and the popular podcast, Health, Hope, and Inspiration. It is all you and Wayne Shepherd. We've connected you to the Reverend Percy McCray through our Facebook page, Dawn and Steve in the Morning. We've been talking about the flight plan that we need, the marching orders, not to be distracted, but to persevere, to be determined on this journey with cancer. But you also say, hey, let's not check out until it's time. Like, there's still life to be lived if you're on this cancer journey. What do you mean by don't check out until the final blow of the whistle?
Well, any of us who've ever played sports or watched sports, we have been trained and indoctrinated to not leave the game or the field until the final blow of the whistle. And the point to be made here is that, remember, sometimes, particularly while you're on a battle and a journey, things may get worse or appear to get worse before they may get better. This is not necessarily an indication of defeat, but perhaps just delay. So don't get frustrated and don't think that the world is coming to an end just because you're going through some turbulence or a difficult time. We walk by faith and not by sight. And there are times that we have to work through difficult moments in order to get to the next season or phase of our life. And so again, continue to play to the end of the whistle. Don't give in. Don't give up just because things have gotten difficult, but continue to play through as much as you can through those difficult times as much as possible.
Well, that'll preach to all of us, Percy, but certainly we're walking a journey with cancer, and, you know, the storms come. Like, they do. They come in life, and this is a big storm if you've been given this diagnosis. But you say we need to access shelter. What are we looking for here?
Well, you know, I live in South Florida, where there's always possible hurricanes and bad weather. And everywhere we have indications of evacuation routes, places that we can shelter. We need to design and distinguish and designate and find a place of emergency shelter for bad weather. Knowing where your storm shelter is may reduce panic when storm clouds roll in. Have you established a bunker that you know that you can run to in the time of storm? The Bible says that God is our hiding place, and he shall preserve us from trouble. He shall compass us about the songs of deliverance. And so when we understand the dynamic of a hiding place, our hiding place is in God. Our shelter is in him. But we need to establish and understand where that is before we get in a storm. So when the storm comes, we won't panic and we'll run and hide inside of that place of shelter, which comes from the Lord.
Well, that's a tough thing to do unless you have done some pre-planning, which is what you're suggesting. But it's also tough when we're through these hard storms, in these hard storms, to give thanks. And yet that is a directive straight from the Word of God. What would you say to us as we struggle through that one?
It absolutely is. So we need to practice praise. We need to practice being a praiser now so that when difficult times come, praise will be part of the mantra of what we do. As a cancer patient or a caregiver, after making a choice to live, you will most likely have to work through challenges along the way. Therefore, keep and maintain an attitude of gratitude as much as you can. And so the Bible says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Praise can lift and carry you in the time of trouble.
It's a supernatural thing. The Lord inhabits the praise of his people. And no matter what we're going through here, this side of eternity, the truths that he's given us in his word, they don't change, whether it's the cancer journey or whatever storm of life that is coming our way. Oh, my goodness, how thankful we are for you, Percy McCray, as a reverend, as someone who wants to help us walk through something that is, it's sinister, it's hard, it's challenging and difficult, but it's not our identity. And you would, I know you would echo that. You would say cancer is not your identity.
Absolutely. I am not my cancer, and cancer is not me. My identity is in the Lord. In him we live and in him we move. In him, we have our very being.
That's Hope Today. The Reverend Percy McCray, as he shares with us, healthhopeandinspiration.com for more encouragement, for resources, also to connect with the podcast by the same name. So grateful for you, my friend. Appreciate your time, your love for all of us, your love for the Lord, which is so evident. Dawn and Steve in the morning.